I want to share with you just to make you radical for God, on fire for Jesus, living for God wholeheartedly, overcoming this world, overcoming temptation, saying no to the devil, and saying yes, I am going to be a wholehearted follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. I suppose for me this year has been an interesting year, blessing year. For me, it seems God has blessed me to have time to do a lot of study and to do a lot of writing. And one of the calls on my life is to write Christian books. And you need a lot of time to study and to work on things. And that's one blessing that I've had this year. It's been very concentrated time of study. Maybe I haven't made the most of it, and maybe I haven't made as much progress as I should have. But we keep going step by step deeper into God's Word. So next week, if all goes well, I'll be in Fiji. Fiji is sort of, it's one of the countries that I think God chose for me. Sometimes, as a missionary, as a preacher, you don't choose which country you go to. God chooses which country to send you to. And Fiji was the first country I ever went to as a missionary in 1996, end of 96, beginning of 97. And this coming trip will be my 10th time to go there. So as I said, Fiji was a country that God gave to me. So it's one of the blessings to go there and to work for the Lord. So I'm believing that this trip will be my best trip ever. I think my last trip was my best trip ever so far, and each one has to get better. So remember me in your prayers. We'll be having a lot of outreach meetings. I need God to really touch people. And I want to see this time a greater harvest of souls saved. This time I want to see a greater harvest. So in the next 4 months or so, just remember me in your prayers. God's power, his presence to be with me, but to bring in this harvest so that when I see you next year, I can say, yes, God did the greatest work I've ever seen. The harvest has come in, multitudes of people saved. Now, the message I want to share with you tonight is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And the title of this chapter is Warnings from Israel's History. Warnings from Israel's history. You know, when we read the Old Testament, they aren't just nice little stories. They are warnings for us today. And in many ways, God wants to speak to us today to overcome, to be his true followers. So there are many warnings about how Israel failed God. How Israel came under God's judgment. And I'm going to apply really the Old Testament to us today. And the Apostle Paul, he talks about Moses and sort of events that happened during the ministry of Moses. And he goes through that. And then from verse 11, he says that these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you, except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. So in the Old Testament, we see all the temptations that God's people faced. There were certain good men of God who fell into temptation. Those who repented and were restored continued to be God's chosen people. But so many times Israel failed God. Okay, so now I want to apply the Old Testament to us today. Starting with the book of Genesis. We know Genesis 1:1, it starts with the revelation of God as our creator. And today we are also facing the same battle, creation versus evolution. The Creator, God, versus we're a big mistake, we're just an accident, this universe just came by itself. So when I think of creation, and that was the first revelation that God gave in the Old Testament of Himself as the sovereign Creator. And that is one of the big major spiritual battles that is always going on. Satan wants to deny God being the Creator. Now we see that God created species. He created a cat, He created a dog, He created all kinds of species. And His most cherished creation was us as human beings. Now, we know that from just Adam and Eve, all the different races have come. So evolution would say, well, that's evolution. This change of variation is because of this evolutionary process. No, that's creation. God created within the species abilities to bring forth variation. But that is not saying that a human came from a monkey or a cat can turn into a dog. No. So this is how I see it. When God created the cat, He just created this cat. And through time, variation has taken place and we've got all kinds of different breeds of cat. So on Noah's Ark, there were not hundreds of kinds of cats. There was just the species of the cat, and from that would multiply. There was just the species of the dog, and all dogs multiplied. So you didn't need millions of animals on the ark. You only needed the specific species that God had created originally. And from that, there has been variation, but that's slightly different than what evolution is trying to say. So evolution is, it might take a little bit of truth, but it twists it. It goes too far, and it bases it not on science, but on faith. There's no proof that humans came from monkeys, so you have to believe it by faith if you're going to believe in evolution. So those who are denying God are putting their faith in something wrong. So that's one of the big spiritual battles that's going on. Then after that, we see in the Garden of Eden, that's when the serpent first turned up. And the serpent we know is Satan. And applying it to us as the church, the Apostle Paul applied it to the church. He said that just as the serpent deceived Eve, he was worried for these Christians that the serpent will try to lead you away from pure and sincere devotion to Jesus Christ. Okay, so we face the devil in a different way than what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden, but it's the same serpent that's working in this world that we are battling against. So we take the warning in the Old Testament and we apply it today. That serpent was crafty. He was cunning. The serpent came to Eve with lies. The serpent came with a false promise. The serpent promised Eve a great blessing if she ate this fruit. And that's what the devil does in this world with temptation. He offers you a false blessing, a false promise, a lie. So we have to be aware of that to overcome the devil. Now then the population of the world began to increase, and we come to a time when God had to send Noah's flood, because the people's minds were full of violence. They were greedy. They were wanting what they wanted. And of course, the best way to get something is to steal it, kill for it, fight for it, dominate others, control others. And God saw that their thoughts had all been gone astray. They were doing what they thought was right in their own eyes. They had no true fear of God. So Jesus warned us that when He comes back, it's like the days of Noah. We are facing a time when people say, if I want to do it, it's okay for me. I want to do what I want. So Jesus warned us of the time of Noah. Thankfully, Noah was a righteous man, and God chose him. And through let's say, the judgments of God and the evil of, that was happening among the people, God always raised up his chosen people. He always raised up his faithful people. Okay, then we come to after the flood, and sometime later the population is taking off again and growing, coming large. We then come to the Tower of Babel. On Saturday we had an end times seminar at Jesus Calls Ministry, and another friend was preaching. His name was Michael. He's been in Fiji as well. And he was basically applying the Tower of Babel to the United Nations. United Nations, again, is often, well, it's full of a mixture of religion. It's taking advisors from false people. And it wants to sort of make a whole world united. But it's a false peace. It's a counterfeit peace. It's a exalting man. It's humanism. It's man thinking that he can do great things. He can build this big tower. He can save himself. And that's what happened at the Tower of Babel. It was people thinking we can make a great name for ourselves. We can exalt ourselves. And that's what happens when people are not putting God first in their lives. And that's what happened in the Tower of Babel. And that's what's happening today with the nations that are not truly submitting their lives to Jesus Christ. A short time after that judgment upon Babel, we have the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Sodom and Gomorrah's great sin and great downfall was really their sexual perversion. Sexual perversion. Now, we know that God created marriage to be holy. Marriage is so important, and that's why the devil works against it. He wants to crush marriages. Now, the problem with Sodom and Gomorrah is because they wanted to follow what they wanted, they fell into homosexuality. And that's one of the big battles that, again, Satan is doing today, to deceive the nations, to say, hey, just let them do what they want to do. Let them do, it's okay. They're saying it's not a sin. But what it is not putting God first in your life. It's saying, God, okay, you say it's a sin, but I'm saying it's not a sin. So people think that they're greater than God. They can tell God what to do. Many of the presidents of America, unfortunately, New Zealand, Prime Minister, and other nations are not saying what God's word says, that this is an abomination. And what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? God destroyed those places to make them an example, to make them a warning. It's a warning for all people, but they're ignoring the warning. When President Obama, one way he really got through in his election is because so many people don't take the seriousness of what he says. I saw in a number of times on the news him saying that he's going to bring in homosexuality in America. Now, New Zealand's worse. It just came into law so easily in this nation. But it's like if people truly knew the warning of the Bible, Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed because of God hating that sin. But we're living in a day where people just ignore the warnings. They don't pay attention to the warnings. They refuse to listen to them. Now, another thing that happened in the book of Genesis was with Abraham. And God gave him a promise that he would have a chosen son, which was going to be chosen by God. But he fell into temptation because of a lack of patience. And he had another woman who gave birth to Ishmael. You can apply it today to coming to the Muslim religion, to the Arabs. It's not so simple as that because there are other people, but in a spiritual sense, you can apply it to the production of Muslims. So you have the Muslims hating the Jews. And you have God gave the promise to the Jews. And that this is a big battle today because it's so easy for the nations to turn against Israel. It's happened throughout history. It's happened through the Second World War, but it's happened time and time again. Hitler wanted to wipe out the Jews. So it was interesting with what's happening lately, because a lot of criticism was coming upon the Jewish people because they were, when they were getting attacked by the rockets, they were dealing harshly with the Palestinians. And I was discussing with one Muslim girl this situation. She was from Indonesia. And what I would say to her was, look, if Indonesia started firing rockets at Israel, let's say they fired 500 rockets into Israel, and they killed no one, but Israel then would go to war against Indonesia, and they would attack Indonesia, and if they killed 5,000 people in Indonesia, whose fault would it be that those people died? It would be the fault of the Indonesian leaders who fired those rockets. So who's the fault when Israel goes to attack the Palestinians because of these rockets? It's actually the fault of Hamas, which is one of the Muslim terrorist groups. So yes, innocent people have died in that war, but it's the fault of Hamas, a terrorist group. But then so many people were getting angry with Israel and just speaking against Israel. And it's interesting that God suddenly turned the attention away from that pressure of Israel and exposed the ugly face of Islam through exposing ISIS, or IS, which is the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, with all these beheadings and all these killings. And now nations are being called by America to rise up and attack these Muslim terrorists. So these Muslim terrorists are very similar to the ones in Hamas who are fighting against Israel. So I know it's a big mess that the world is in. But in the final days, the Bible warns us that the Antichrist will gather the nations to attack Israel, to attack Jerusalem. And that's when Jesus Christ returns to destroy the nations that go against Israel. So it's lies and deception that leads the rulers to go against the nation of Israel. So we as the church have to be aware of how the devil is doing these things. And this goes back all the way back to the book of Genesis, really. It's a part of God's plan and purpose to show who belongs to God and who does not belong to God. And it's at the end of the day, it's only those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior belong to God. And one of the devil's biggest counterfeits was to raise up the religion of Islam, which says that God has no son. They say that Jesus didn't die on the cross. He just was taken to heaven, but he didn't die. So they deny what can save us. It's the blood of Jesus sacrificed on the cross for our sins that can save us. But they are so deceived that they have denied that. Now we then see in the book of Genesis, God calling and specifically raising up his chosen people of Israel. And it started with Abraham, but it moves into Isaac, Jacob, then Joseph, his brothers. He had to deal with them, and came the 12 tribes of Israel. And we see God setting apart a special chosen people. And in the New Testament, that's you and me, the church. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ, you are called, you are chosen, you are one of God's chosen people. Now the whole big, huge message of the Old Testament is really to help Israel fulfill their God-given calling. Some ways they succeeded, but in many ways they failed through backsliding. Some ways the church is succeeding, but in some ways the church is failing through backsliding. And in one sense, the nation of Israel had to prepare the world for the first coming of Christ. But the church has to prepare the world for the second coming of Christ. What a great, important responsibility we have as Christians to prepare the world for the second coming of Jesus Christ. God will fulfill his purpose. We know that Jesus will return. God will fulfill his purpose. He fulfilled his purpose through Israel, even though they were backslidden. And my personal view is that the church has always been more backslidden than what we realize. The church has not been as wholehearted, Loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength is what God has called us to be. But God is still going to fulfill his purpose through the church. Because God is the one who's in control and he's the one that's great. Now, God gave his law through Moses. And the law of God always has to be used in the right way to lead us to salvation, to lead us to the gospel, not to lead us to legalism. But what happens with the religious leaders of Israel, they basically used the law of God for their own purposes, and they became a spiritually dead religion based on the laws of God, but lacking the heart, lacking the true love for God, and they added their own traditions to it. Focusing on the pure word of God, first of all, comes from a close friendship with God. Now, to rightly interpret the Bible, the first key is intimacy with God, because God is the ultimate author. So many people, they find parts of the Bible hard to understand. Well, you need to go to the author. The true author of all scripture is God. Yes, he speaks through prophets and he writes through people, but the Holy Spirit and God is the true author. So when we are close to God, we will interpret the Bible properly. But when we are backslidden, we will use the Bible and be even deceived by the Bible. God even had to warn Israel so many times of the false prophets. And really, they were Israelites. They were priests. They were Levites. They were even the kings of Israel. They were people respected as God's true servants. But because of the backsliding of the nation, this deception had come over them. Now, God raised up judges. God raised up kings. God raised up prophets. When I look at the history of America, the history of England, it's just like reading the Old Testament. So many of the kings of England and the presidents of America, it's just like reading the Old Testament kings. And in the Bible, we see that most of the kings were wicked. Most of the kings, especially of Israel, were unfaithful to God. Now, God raised up powerful prophets like Elijah and Elisha during that time to speak to them. So, in many ways, there were times when they did listen to the prophets, but they didn't turn wholeheartedly in their hearts. And God has raised up reformers in America and raised up reformers and prophets in England. Now, with Judah, they were a bit more faithful with God, so you see many kings that were righteous, but even they had their failings and they had their sins, and there was like a mixture. The same thing has happened when you study the lives of the world rulers of the nations that were supposedly the strongest Christian nations. So the warnings in the Old Testament are applied powerfully to what's happened through the last 2,000 years in the church age. Now, the people of Israel, they compromised many times with idols. And we can see that that even happened with the church. In one sense, it was quite obvious with the Catholic Church. They kept hold of their idols, statues of Mary, idols of Jesus, idols of the saints. So they mixed Christianity with paganism. And that's what happened in the Old Testament with Israel. They mixed the true religion with the religions of the surrounding nations. So Israel was seduced into idolatry. So in some ways, the same thing happens in the church history. Now, Israel was also seduced by false teachings because of their backsliding. And again, and through church history, we see the raising up of false cults, false prophets, especially ones like Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, who are very blind and deceived and twisted in the way that they interpret the Bible. So when I see the history of Israel, remember the Bible says it's a warning for us today so that we don't fall into temptation. And if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. So Jesus Christ, he is going to come back. But Jesus said, will I find faith on the earth when I come back? One problem is that Jesus said that because of the increase of wickedness, the love of many will grow cold. And it's because when they see more wickedness, it affects them. And it pulls them down and it makes them lose their whole love for God. And we're living in that day today. You know, with Sodom and Gomorrah, there was a righteous man there called Lot. But he basically lost his family to Sodom and Gomorrah because he dwelt within that wickedness and he was grieved in his own heart. And yes, the angel said, get out. And he sort of made it a half-hearted escape. So the angel had to grab him, but he lost his wife because she turned back and she turned to a pillar of salt, and then his own daughters were corrupted and they became immoral. So it's like Sodom and Gomorrah had corrupted them. And we have to be careful because we're living in a nation of New Zealand that is corrupt against God. We're living in a day and age where, yes, there are some Christian politicians, but they're not powerful. They're not having a powerful voice, and maybe God's trying to raise up more. And maybe, hopefully, in this coming election, some true Christians will get into parliament. But we see that all these kind of battles are important because they're spiritual battles that are going on. The devil wants New Zealand to be lost, but God wants New Zealand to be saved. Now, God raised up prophets to call God's people to have revival. And this is what I'm coming to, my main point now. Because I'm wanting to call you to have revival. To have revival in your own heart. To not be deceived by the world, but to be a powerful servant of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter how old or how young you are. We need these young ones to be powerful servants of Jesus Christ. To know the presence of God upon them, the hand of God upon them. And them to come up to be powerful. Anointed. Now, God has to raise up prophets and apostles from the children in the church. So we have to have that vision. So for a revival, we start with repentance. The prophets always came to Israel and called them to fresh dedication to God. Repent, turn away from your sins. See that, you know, sin is gripping you. It's pulling you. And yes, we're always facing that battle. And that's why we have to constantly call people. Don't be deceived by this nation of New Zealand. Don't be deceived by the ways. There's good things in this nation. There's many beautiful things. But you've got to discern what is of God and what is not of God. What is compromise? So the prophets were constantly calling. God was sending the prophets to Israel. And God is sending his prophets throughout the church history. God has raised up powerful men of God throughout the last 2,000 years with powerful messages, with wisdom, with revelation, with anointing, with power. God has raised up amazing people. But we have to have revival so God raises up more. We've got to have a hunger for God to raise up more servants. God raised up Moses because the people were crying out in their bondage and slavery. And God heard their cry and raised up a deliverer. Are we desperate to cry out for God to save New Zealand? Are we desperate to seek God for revival in this nation? Do we have a cry in our hearts for God to arise to save us out of deception and to raise up his true prophets? Then God raised up, especially King David, to be a king of righteousness. Yes, King David fell, but actually King David did a great work for God. And there's the minor prophets, the major prophets. There's all kinds of servants that God raised up to do a great work. So for revival, we then have to, once we repent, we then have to go into prayer. We have to have a cry to God. We move into prayer. And once we have the breakthrough in prayer, God releases his word. You know, God's plan actually for Israel was to be a light to the nations. He wanted them to be the head, not the tail. He wanted them to bring this, reveal the glory of God. And in some ways it did happen a little bit. When King Solomon was young and faithful to God, the nations came to Israel to seek the wisdom of God. Unfortunately, even Solomon was unfaithful. But imagine if Israel had done everything that God had commanded them to do. They would have been like a storehouse of wisdom and treasures and blessings, spiritual blessings. And also Solomon, he released wisdom in building. He released wisdom in understanding animals and all kinds of things. Technology was increasing through him. And imagine if Israel had been more faithful. Great releases of technology and things are happening, could have happened through Israel. Now the world is using all these things today and this generation for the devil's tricks and for the world. But we have to claim technology for God. We have to claim these things for God, not to be in the grips of the devil. Why should the devil have the best movies? No, we need powerful movies that save people, not movies that lead people to hell. So we have to turn off the false movies and pray that God will get some of these directors, Hollywood directors, saved properly. And that people like Mel Gibson will repent. He made a good Christian film, but he has to make some powerful ones. But sin and compromise in his own life pulled him back. So we're in a big spiritual battle in this world, and we need revival, repentance, prayer, evangelism, then discipleship. Making radical disciples for Jesus Christ. On fire for God, filled with God's wisdom. Their spiritual eyes are opened so that they see the world with God's light. So they have a perspective of eternity. I suppose when God's power hit me, I had a vision of heaven and hell in my heart. I had a reality of people are saved or lost. And the most important thing is to be saved. So that's what gave me a vision of living for God and doing missions and doing evangelism. But tonight I'm just taking the warnings of the Old Testament and applying it to you today. So remember, when you read the Old Testament, oh, they're not just nice little stories. They're, what is God saying to us today? That the same deceptions that took Israel down are trying to take the church down. The devil is trying to pull the church down. But the good news is that Jesus Christ is building his church. The gates of Hades will not prevail against it. But Jesus will build his church with those who turn wholeheartedly to him. So my challenge again to you is just a fresh challenge to turn wholeheartedly in your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this message. Lord, I just see the challenges that you have for us to win the spiritual battle against the kingdom of darkness. And Lord, you've spoken to us through the Bible to be your true servants, to be powerful servants for your kingdom. Lord, open every person here, open their eyes again to what's happening in New Zealand. We see the kings and the rulers in the Old Testament. What's the devil trying to do with the politicians of New Zealand? Lord, we see, let us not be blinded. Let us see the big spiritual battle that's on New Zealand. Let us see the spiritual battle that's taking place over the church. Let's be a church that has revival. So Lord, let that revival start in all of our hearts. Revive me. And Lord, raise up prophets. Again, we just release the call of God. Lord, there's people in here that have to be powerful voice for your kingdom. So Lord, let your anointing be upon us. Let the prophets of God arise from this church. In Jesus' name I pray.